I was exchanging email with a Unitarian Universalist minister friend of mine, and he was, I won't tell you his name for what will become obvious reason, he was saying, "Oh, Thanksgiving again? I've done over 30 Thanksgiving sermons and there's nothing else to say." There's nothing else to say, and I think that's just fine. This is so simple and so wonderful. This is my favorite holiday, holy day. It presents me with no problems, no challenges, the food hangover the next day. But in thinking about it and in planning it, it's nothing but excitement because it brings together all of those basic spiritually nourishing food groups. Starting, of course, with food, with family, with tradition, and of course, for some, football. Those are kind of the big kind of bookmarks of Thanksgiving. It's a wonderful family celebration. The holy altar of the temple, of the church, of the cathedral is moved for a day inside the home. And that becomes the festive, sacrificial, celebratory altar as we meet around food, and food creates memories for another generation and renews memories as smell and flavor do of our past. Past, present, and future all coming together, and it's a wonderful time. Now, I know that there are some problems around Thanksgiving, that there are distractions. It is the kickoff of the holiday shopping season. And like every other holiday and holy day on our calendar, people can get distracted as it gets more and more secularized and we forget what it is about, what it was about, what it can be about in our lives and in the lives of our children and grandchildren. It's just a wonderful time to bring people together in full contact, family and extended family, to eat, to argue, maybe to fight, to bet, to complain, to celebrate, to do the things that human beings do when we come together. I know that the problems that people have with Thanksgiving are of relative recent kind of higher criticism. People look at Thanksgiving and understand that part of our story is mythologized, that we have this snapshot of the pilgrims and the Indians, and that's not really the way it played out in history. But the mythology is also important. That we forgot the full story is important, and we need to go back and recapture it and know where that promise was betrayed and how we forgot the meaning of that first Thanksgiving. But the fact that we forgot doesn't annul what happened in the first place and what the central truths as well as facts are of Thanksgiving. It is inarguable that there were these people called pilgrims who were persecuted in England, that England had a state church, and that there were people who were opposed to that state church. They wanted to disestablish the Church of England as a state church. They were the disestablishmentarianists, against whom, of course, the anti-disestablishmentarianists were anti. And among those people, they wanted something more than just the flesh pots of England. They wanted freedom. They wanted freedom to be themselves, to worship as they chose, to understand God as it was given to them to understand. That they were imperfect and flawed and had their own prejudices is proof that they were human beings. But that they had that drive, those drives for freedom, is inspirational because it must raise in our minds the questions of what is it that we believe as human beings that's important enough to us, that we would take such risks, that we would journey across the English Channel to Holland, that we would journey across the Atlantic to a new world, a cold world, a world that they were not ready to meet. What's important enough in our own value system? Never mind whether it's a worthwhile value, never mind if we are perfect, but it's a question about what do we care about with some degree of passion, conviction, and commitment. And that's a very good self-inventory question to ask at Thanksgiving, along with the expression of Thanksgiving for being here and being together and being able to have food to share with each other. It's an imperfect holiday, I suppose, because it's celebrated by imperfect people. And yet we have to celebrate. We have to give thanks because that's important, to have the awareness, the connection to life that says it's worthwhile to give thanks. It's worthwhile not just to eat unconsciously, not just to live unconsciously, but to have some sense of awe and appreciation for the life that we share, for the love that we can make, for the meaning that we can create or uncover. That's why it is, for me, a wonderful celebration that does not involve denomination. Unitarians and Universalists are always happy to point out that the Pilgrim Church at Plymouth is now a Unitarian church. It has been Congregationalist, it's been Unitarian, it's been hyphenated, it's been bifurcated, it's been all of those things, and that's fine. But it is less important than understanding that there are things that are worth sacrificing for. And what's inarguable is those pilgrims did not have easy lives, and the majority of them did not have easy deaths. They came to a new world and somewhat north of where they had planned, and they encountered New England, and they encountered that first winter, and they were not decimated. That's only removing one of ten. They had 60% loss. Every family lost a child or a parent, a husband or a wife. Every family. And did they despair? Did they question their faith? Of course they did. They were human beings. You can't suffer like that and not cry out why, and not wonder at the divine providence that you are so busy worshiping at other times. It has to sneak into your head that things are not going so well. It snuck into the heads of the Israelites on the desert to go up to Moses and say, Moshe, you sure that was the right turn to make? We've been out here 39 years. It should have taken a week. I mean, there's a problem here, Moshe. Talk to me. I know you're talking up on the mountaintop, but come on. Ask somebody directions. There's a Bedouin who probably knows a shorter route. Jesus on the cross cries out in wonder and in pain and a sense of loneliness and abandonment. There's nothing impious about crying out in pain and saying to divine providence, however you understand it, this is the best you can do? This is what you had in mind? Is there some reason for our suffering? One of the most touching stories that comes out of the Holocaust, the Shoah, is a group of men in one of the death camps who convened a trial and put God on trial for nonfeasance, for not keeping the covenant. They said, you know, we kept the covenant, we've been faithful, and we're not going to make Moshe's mistake and not ask if you know what you're doing. And they put God on trial and they convicted God of nonfeasance. And the next thing that they did was they met for prayer. There's no contradiction, no tension between questioning and wondering and crying out and a sense of faithfulness to life and to the source of life. The proof of the character of the pilgrims at that time was what happened when the next ships arrived. I don't know about you, but I would have been very tempted to get on the next ship and say, England, please, after you've lost 60% of your community, English cooking sounds really good. No aspersions here meant. Well, yes. Even Scotch cooking sounds really good. And if I didn't want to go all the way back to England, I might have tried to hijack the boats and take it somewhat south towards Virginia, maybe towards the ultimate destination of the people of my tribe, Miami, someplace warmer than Plymouth. But they didn't. They stayed. And they suffered. And they worked. And they prevailed. And they survived, imperfect people with imperfect children in an imperfect world, saying, thank you. Thank you. Seems really easy to me. It's the great interdenominational, multi-denominational holiday and holy day. Holiday and holy day both. Where Protestants and Catholics and wherever this season we're understanding Mormons and Jews and Muslims and Buddhists and atheists and agnostics can all come together and say thank you. And yet, just this week, well, just last week, I received a UUA mailing expressing compassion for the great difficulty that Unitarian Universalists have in giving thanks because we don't know to whom to give thanks. This is the kind of exquisite sensitivity that sometimes makes me pretty close to literally crazy, and I want to scream, you don't need to know. Thank you is thank you and doesn't need an object past life and the wonder of life and the wonder of being able to wonder at life. What is the problem that would come between a hardcore Orthodox theist who believes that God created everything and everything is as it should be, and we have our pain and our bounty and our pleasures and our tears, and it's just the way it should be and we should be grateful, to the deist who says, and some divine force got it all moving and it's all unwinding, and maybe that divine force is watching us try to figure it out, but so what? We're trying to figure it out and we're living here and we can appreciate it even if it's only a deistic universe. And how about agnostics who are caught in the middle of, well, I don't really know, but we're here. Why not be glad in this day? And even atheists who reject the very word God and are very sure that there is no such independent intellect called God in control of the universe, can an atheist not give gratitude and praise and have a sense of appreciation for the wonderful mystery of existence, of life, of bodies that more or less work most of the time, of minds that can think? What is it that would keep anybody from that celebration? What is it that would keep us from understanding that ultimate, look, I want the answers. I would love to know how the universe came into being. I would love to have theological certainty. I would love all of those things. But they don't get in the way of appreciating what it is that we have together. The flaws in our American history do not annul the hope and the truths of that first Thanksgiving. That the meaning of that first Thanksgiving got distorted, we got distracted, and it got lost. But it can be redeemed by us when we understand how much we are enriched by opening our hearts, our minds to all of those others. Others of race, religion, ethnicity, tribe, sexuality, all those differences that enrich us, all of those breads that have different flavors that still give us nourishment. We don't have to have one theology and one object to understand the that we are for a moment, as that was a moment at that first Thanksgiving of hope, that we are at a moment of promise, a promise that can be redeemed when we understand that fundamentally, whatever our religion or theology, we are the common children of the same wonderful mystery.